The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ يُو هُ بِلِيهِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
You know, as we remember Bibi Sakina alayhi salam, this daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, whom we're told was not only named Sakina, but as Imam Hussein would say that it was her who would bring sukoon, peace, tranquility into his heart. And indeed, as we have in the historical narratives, that even every time that Bibi Sakina wanted to rest, wanted to go to sleep, wanted that peace, that she would go and sleep on the chest of her dear father, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So it was a reciprocating relationship between father and daughter, a beautiful relationship that sometimes we don't see today in communities, that love and relationship between father and daughter. But we see in the life of Abu Abdullah that he not only had that daughter, names her Sakina, but she herself brought that peace and tranquility into the life of Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wassalam. And Bibi Sakina herself also sought comfort in her father. You know, today when you look at the world that we live in, this is one of the prime things that everybody is looking for. Humanity have been looking for ways to attain comfort, to attain peace of mind. And even the believers, we are no exception to the rule. You know, we are like other people, whether it be in this country or anywhere in the world, we go through the similar challenges, we have the same ups and downs of life, we lose our job, we lose our children, we have accidents, and we all are looking for peace. We're all looking for that level of comfort, for tranquility. But the question comes, or the challenge comes, is as believers, where do we look for that level of tranquility? Do we look for it in the secular world, in the materialistic pursuit of things and of stuff? Or do we look for tranquility and sukoon in something other than the temporal world that we live in today? You know, when you look online, there is no shortage of self-help experts, these gurus who claim to be able to get you to that level of, you know, spirituality, of proximity to whatever you're looking to get closer to. There are thousands, probably, if not millions of videos trying to guide people and how to become better people, better human beings, you know, connect to the inner self. They have all these fancy buzzwords and catchphrases. And many times we might look at those and we might follow some of them. But sometimes we look, and hopefully we look at this, we look at it from our lens, from the perspective of the Quran, from the teachings of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, alayhim wassalatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And so, you know, many times people will go on a vacation, they'll take a retreat, they'll go to another country in the countryside and get a small chalet and they'll just relax for a week or two to try and develop that sukoon, that peace of mind. But the problem is that once you come back home, you're back to work, you're back to that rat race of 9 to 5, of working, of trying to make money, of paying your bills, and you're stuck in that rat race again. So the week or two that you had off, it was great, right? There was no work, there was no work to do, nothing to worry about, no traffic, no headaches. But then you come back to life, you come back to reality, and you're back in the same place you were 2 weeks before. Yeah, you found a bit of comfort and solace where you were. But again, life brings up all of those challenges. And so other people may say, well, you know what? I'll not go on a vacation to some exotic destination. I'll go for Umrah or for Ziyarat. And there's no doubt, right? Nobody can ever downplay and diminish the role of Umrah or Hajj or Ziyarat. No matter the challenges, the difficulties, no matter what people say, you know, these are still pillars of our religion. Hajj obviously is an exception because it's not wajib on many people. It'll become wajib only when you have certain prerequisites are met. You have the wealth, you have the health, you have the ability, roads are not blocked, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to ziyarah, right, an opportunity which many of us have, and I know many of us or many people have already made their way towards Iraq for the Arba'een. May Allah protect all of our family members and community who have gone towards the Arba'een. And may Allah allow them to come back home safe and secure with a greater knowledge of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. But as beautiful as ziyarat is, and nobody can doubt it, sitting under the golden dome of Imam Radha alayhi as-salam in Mashhad, or going to Karbala, or going to Najaf, or Samara, or Ka'damain, or Qum, or Damascus, ziyarat becomes only a temporary fix. Again, we're there for a week or two, we perform the ziyarah, we're in that aura of spirituality, we're surrounded by fellow believers, we're in a land where the prophets and the imams have literally walked on the earth that we walk upon. But at the end of the day, guess what? We have to come back home. And we may carry that fragrance of the ziyarah for a week or two or a month as we live here back at home. But again, the society, the corruption, all of the challenges get back to us, and maybe whatever we have gained, we begin to slowly lose a bit of that. You know, and I hear people tell me every now and then, you know what, the solution is to move to those countries. Move to Mashhad, move to Karbala, move to Najaf. You can sit in the Haram all day. You can pray all day, read Quran. You can be right in the precincts of the Commander of the Faithful. And there's no doubt that that is beautiful. But that's not the solution, obviously. The solution is that as Allah has spread humanity upon the earth, that we learn how to capture that essence of spirituality. We learn how to capture that essence of tranquility and keep it with us even though we go to work. Keep it with us where we live in these societies which are full of corruption, of evil, of hedonistic lifestyles, of things which are the complete antithesis of Islam. And on a night like this, we remember that one individual that brought sukoon into the life of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, that one young daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that the earth could be trembling around Abu Abdullah. But if his daughter was there, if that Sakina alayhi salam was there with Abu Abdullah, the entire world would mean nothing. And rightfully so for Bibi Sakina, that the whole world could be going and just completely crashing around her. But as long as her father, Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, was there, that she would have that sukoon. And we remember this young daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that on a night like this, that so many difficulties that she had seen, a young girl growing up in Medina with her father, with the extended family, eventually, as we know, that caravan had to leave Medina to go to Mecca. They had to leave Mecca to make their way towards Kufa, being intercepted in Karbala. Bibi Sakina alayhi salam faced the same tragedies as the men. She faced the same difficulties as the older people of the family of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, except for the fact that this child was 3, 4, or 5 years old, and how many difficulties she had to see. We remember that on that day of Ashura, when the children were crying out, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, when the children were crying out that the thirst was killing them, where the thirst was so difficult for them to bear, that Abu Fadl Abbas alayhi salam takes the orders from his master Abu Abdullah, and he goes towards the river Furat to bring some water for the children. We know that Abu Fadl Abbas alayhi salam never made it back to the tents with the water. That Bibi Sakina was waiting for her uncle to come with that drop of water, and that he was not there to give her that water. And we know, brothers and sisters, that as the day of Ashura unfolded, and as Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, as he was shaheed on the day of Ashura, as his body had been stripped, as his body had been completely decimated, that even on that night, on that Sham-e Ghariba, that when Bibi Zainab alayhi salam was looking to make sure all of the children were accounted for, she finds that there's one child that's missing. And as she recognizes this is Bibi Sakina, she goes to walk into the plains of Karbala. She goes to walk over the blood-stained plains of Karbala. And the historians mention at one point, as Bibi Zainab is walking, as the clouds begin to separate, as the almost full moon in the night of in the month of Muharram begins to radiate with light, she sees the body on the ground. This is the headless body of Abu Abdullah. But not only is it the headless body of Abu Abdullah, but his beloved daughter Sakina alayhi salam. She's sitting on the chest of Abu Abdullah. She's sleeping on the chest of Abu Abdullah, just as she would do when Abu Abdullah was in Medina. Anytime she wanted to sleep, she would go onto the chest of her father. And here too in Karbala, she sleeps on the chest of Abu Abdullah. When Bibi Zainab wakens Bibi Sakina and she asks her, "Oh my dear Sakina, how do you know that this is your father? Your father's head has been severed. Your father's clothes have been taken off of his body." She replies, "How can I not know my father? How can a child not know their father?" This is the same Sakina alayhi salam that when they're forced to go from Karbala to Kufa, from Kufa to Sham, as they spend the days in the Zindan of Sham, as they're forced to go into the in front of the cursed Yazid Mal'un, that eventually one evening comes that Bibi Sakina is sitting in the prison. She's sitting with the other lady. She's sitting with the children. She's sitting with Imam Zainul Abidin. And as she's asleep, she wakes up from her sleep. All of a sudden, she begins to cry. She begins to scream and cry out her father's name. She begins to tell Bibi Zainab, "I've just seen a dream and I've seen my father. I've seen my father and he's telling me to come towards him. Where is my father? Where is my dear father?" And what can Bibi Zainab tell her? She tells her daughter, her niece, Sakina, she says that your father has gone on a journey. He's gone far, far away. And as Bibi Sakina hears that her father has gone far away, she's crying, she's sobbing. At one point, the historians say that Bibi Sakina falls silent. At first, Bibi Zainab thinks that she's gone back to sleep. She tells Imam Sajjad, she says, "Oh, Imam Zainul Abidin, come and check on Sakina, check on her status." And it's there that Imam Zainul Abidin says, "No, this Sakina, she has left this world. She is no longer, she has left this world out of grief over the loss of her father." وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.
Oh, Hussein, you live forever in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah and to my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. The light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.